Our scripture reading this afternoon is taken from the book of Psalms, Psalm 27. Psalm 27, we'll read the entire chapter together, and with God's help, we want to look at verse 4 for our text. Psalm 27, a psalm of David. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in a time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me, and answer me. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Thus far, the reading of God's holy and sacred word. May he add his very own blessing unto it. Dear congregation, the new year, 2015, is already well begun, is it not? And to many, if not most people, already their hopes have been dashed to pieces, because in all reality, nothing has changed in this sin-cursed world. For them or the world, it seems that things are getting worse and worse, darker and darker. And to be sure, on the forefront, there is the fear of terrorism. As we've seen in the media, the papers, on the radio, the things that go on in the world, the hatred that is there, is it going to strike in our city? Or we have ill health? Or we have the loss of a loved one? In all reality, life is really not what most people expected it to be. They expect it to be much better. And we forget that we do not live in a normal world. We live in a sin-cursed world, a broken world. And for most people, there's nothing to look forward to but hopelessness. And yet, there's a great desire in the hearts of people for things to get better. So we have to ask ourselves, Where do we find comfort this afternoon? Where is true biblical comfort for each one of us to be found? Or we might ask, unto whom shall we go? Or we might ask, what things ought we to desire and to quest for this comfort? Well, David has set before us the experience of his heart, has he not? He's a sweet psalmist of Israel, probably the most well-known Bible character outside of our Lord Jesus. And David displays a multitude of human emotions in the Psalms. And that's why, as we get older, don't we find the Psalms precious? They wrap themselves around the table of our heart. They echo what we find in our hearts. There are times that we are utterly hopeless and destitute. Other times our hearts are running over with sorrow and fear. And then there's the places where David rejoices, and we can rejoice too in praising the Lord. But what is the general object of the Psalms? Well, certainly they're the songs of Zion. They ought to be sung. It's light years above the happy, clappy sounds and songs that the modern church sings. But the Psalms are there to excite in others, to excite in us a confidence in our God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, our Lord Jesus Christ, as we heard this morning hour. And David had experience. He had experience of fear, of being hunted down by Saul. His troubles increased on every side, and yet David looked. He focused on Yahweh. We think in Psalm 61, verse 2, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. That's what we need in this new year. When our heart is overwhelmed, we cry to the Lord, lead me to the rock, lead me to Christ that is higher than I. And therefore, in the midst of all of David's troubles, he's not so much focusing on extenuating present circumstances or future events. He's looking to his covenant-making, covenant-keeping God, the God of his fathers. And with confidence, David, in the midst of his troubles, has a desire. And our theme is desiring God out of our text, verse 4 of Psalm 27. In three places, first of all, the quest, secondly, the character, and thirdly, the goal. Desiring God, the quest, the character, and the goal. Let us consider in the first place then the quest in desiring God in verse 4a. David says, one thing have I desired of Jehovah, that will I seek after. And to be sure, this is not someone that is saying, well, I hope the Lord converts me someday. This is a covenant child that has received the gift of faith from the Holy Ghost. He's a type of Christ. He sees Christ. He sees the Lord. He sees Jehovah. And the psalm, well, it's not so much about David, is it, really? It's about the Lord. It's about Jehovah's sovereign power. When David's world felt to be crumbling round about him, he looked to the rock that is higher than him, the rock that is in the heavens, where nothing can shake his rule, the creator of the heavens and the earth. We find the same thought in Isaiah chapter 45, verse 18. Thus saith Jehovah that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he hath established it, he created it not in vain, he formed it to be inhabited. I am Jehovah, and there is none else. I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I, Jehovah, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. David here is seeking the Lord. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. It is because the Lord says to his people that you don't seek me in vain. For all of those in this sanctuary today, all that listen on church phone or on the internet, we never seek the Lord in vain. His word will not return unto him void, but it will accomplish whatsoever he sends it out for to do. And yet, when we look at modern man, well, we look at man throughout the ages, we would never seek the Lord, would we? That's what the apostle says, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. And herein is truth, not so much that we seek the Lord, but that he is seeking us. He is the good shepherd. He says, I come to lay down my life for the sheep. He seeks the lost sheep of the house of Israel. No man can so exercise his so-called free will and seek after the Lord. And some might think this strange. And yet the Lord Jesus says in John 6, verse 44, he says, no man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him. No one on this earth can come to the Lord Jesus Christ, number one, because they're dead in trespasses and sins, and number two, because of the Father's electing love. And that word draw in the Greek, it means literally to drag. No, not dragging, kicking and screaming, but dragging, pulling with cords of love. That as a gospel call goes out, come unto me, the Holy Ghost is drawing elect sinners unto himself. And that's what David is experiencing. He's seeking the Lord because the Lord already is seeking him. And David's quest here, his lifelong quest, and may we just pause a minute. This ought to be our lifelong quest too, is it not? To seek the Lord. No, not seek him in vain, but seek him daily to have covenantal fellowship with him. David asked a question in Psalm 73, verse 25, whom have I in heaven but thee? There is none upon earth that I desire except thee. David desires the Lord. David desires to have fellowship with the creator of heaven and earth, an electing father, a redeeming son, a sanctifying Holy Ghost. And that's why he says in the beginning of the psalm, he says, Jehovah is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Can you say that? Maybe with a trembling lip. Jehovah is my light and my salvation. It's not, I hope so. But it might be with a faith as small as a grain of mustard seed. And how could David say this? Because many times things did not look well for David. Saul repeatedly was trying to kill him. He's living in a cave. He was banished from his own country. He had to leave wife and family and possessions behind. And he longed. He has this longing. Not so much to be back with his family, although that was part of it. Not so much to be back home. But oh, to go to temple worship. To go to the house of the Lord. He was grieved because he was banished many times from coming into the sanctuary. And here's his only prayer. He was delivered from his enemies, and therefore he's going to offer the sacrifice of praise in the Lord's house. His desire was to be in the house of the Lord, our text says it, all the days of my life. And you realize, being a member, a living member of the body of Christ, is a sacred privilege, is it not? And to have the doors of this sanctuary opened, even three times on a Sabbath day, it's a sacred privilege. And in light of that, don't you find it hard to understand that many churches today, they're closed in the evening? Could it be that the pastor or the elders or the people do not consider the Sabbath a Sabbath day? That they do not consider it to be a sacred privilege to be in the house of the Lord? So David says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, experiential, biblical Christianity. And we hear another echo, don't we? Right away, I think about Lord's Day 1 here. What is thy only comfort? Underline it. What is thy only comfort in life and in death? It's the same language David is saying. One thing have I desired. Oh, there were other desires. We have other things we find to be comfort to us. But there's one overriding comfort. There's one thing that the true child of God desires. It means to request urgently of the Lord. Lord God Almighty, there's one thing I desire of thee. Do we pray that? That I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is a heartthrob of David. And that's what the apostle says in the New Testament. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So we hear David's cry, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. But I have to ask, what is your desire as an individual? What is your desire as a parent or a grandparent? What is your desire for covenant children? That they might be good scholars and go to college and have a good career? Or that they would say the same prayer that David does? What a blessing to parents to hear we little ones or teenagers or older ones Father and mother, I have one desire. One desire of the Lord, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. But his quest, his second place, is the character of his searching. Verse 4b, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord. It's a personal experience for David. He went up to God's house. And that is a witness in and of itself. That as we gather our family together and we go up to God's house, people watch us. It's a witness to the entire congregation, to the young people, that we are in the Lord's house morning and evening at least. David longs for personal fellowship, for God to dwell with him, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. And the Hebrew word is to remain, to sit down, to have one's abode. That is part of confession of faith, is it not? Not only confessing Christ, but confessing that as a member of this church, I am going to dwell in this house of the Lord all the days of my life. I'm going to be here. It's going to be my dwelling place. And when you have a dwelling place that doesn't change with all the changes of life, it's comfort. It's comfort with a capital C, because it's permanence. God never changes. His word never changes. You and I, we change. We struggle as David did. But in Psalm 91, verse 1, has a precious promise there. He that dwelleth, it's the same Hebrew word that David uses here. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him I trust. Could it be that this dwelling place is a secret place of prayer? When the Lord Jesus says, go into thy closet and shut the door, and when you pray to your Father in secret, he shall reward you openly. He that dwelleth in the secret place, he that dwelleth in the sanctuary of the Lord with the door shut to the world, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. What a place to be in 2015, under the shadow of the Almighty God, our Lord Jesus Christ. What David is saying, what you and I must say also, I make friends of God's children. We don't run with the world. No, we don't. We don't have world flight like some people would do. We have to mingle with the world in our daily callings. And yet we make friends with God's people. Our desire is to have fellowship, Christian fellowship with the people of the Lord. That's what the psalmist says. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. But we have to get particular here. It's not just being a religious person, is it? It's not even singing the songs of Zion. It's not even having biblical worship in a sense, with good music. It's not just having communion with the saints. If we have all that, and we don't have what David was desiring, we've missed it. Because he desires the Lord. The place where the Lord places his name. That's where he dwells. Psalm 22, or 122, verse 1. The psalmist says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And David's desire was the same. And how is it with us? Are we really glad? Do we have that desire that David had? And are we glad that we come to the house of the Lord? Or, well, is it just custom and tradition? Or do we really seek the Lord in his sanctuary? The house of the Lord was the focal point of David's life. The house of the Lord, the church, was the hub of the wheel in ages gone by with our forefathers. The whole family life revolved around the church. Church was everything because the Lord was everything. What has happened? What has happened in our day and age? When the church is closed and the beach or the malls have a greater call upon the hearts of the people. But what did David find in the temple? Was it just a building? Well, Calvin has a comment on this. He says, and I quote, the fashion of the temple was not framed according to the wisdom of man, but was an image of spiritual things. The temple was an image of spiritual things. Every piece of furniture that God commanded Moses to make for the tabernacle was an image of heavenly things. Now Calvin goes on, he says, and the prophet directed his eyes and all his affections to this object. And he says, their madness is therefore truly detestable, who rest this place in favor of pictures and images, which instead of deserving to be numbered among temple ornaments, are rather like dung and filth. Calvin is speaking against all of the icons and the pictures of deity. But he says that the temple, and truly it was, the temple was an image of spiritual things. And our desire is to be like the reformers, to have the pure worship of the Lord. And a longing for it to continue. Change and decay is everywhere. And yet in the New Testament, we find that we are to earnestly contend for the faith. We are to earnestly contend for true biblical worship. The year 2015 is like what the psalmist says, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall abide forever. 2015 will soon be gone. Our life will soon be gone. But the word of the Lord abideth forever. This is our hope in the midst of great adversity, of great calamity. We need security, beloved. And it's found at the foot of Calvary. And lastly, we want to look at David's goal. We've been considering together David's desiring God from Psalm 27. In the first place, the quest. Secondly, the character. And now, the ultimate goal that David had in mind. Verse 4c, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. What did David see in temple worship? Was it just a building? We could say of this sanctuary, is it just a building? Like so many people say today. Or is it a special place? David wanted to see the beauty of the Lord. The chief end of man, Westminster Shorter Catechism says, is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Not endure him for a Sabbath day. To enjoy him forever. Because beauty is something to be enjoyed. Beauty grips the heart and mind. And beloved, there is nothing more beautiful than our Lord Jesus Christ. The beauty of the tabernacle. It was God's design, was it not? We said that before. Everything in the tabernacle, the size, the shape, the color of the curtains, the furniture, everything was by God's design. Maybe David thought about the Ark of the Covenant in the most holy place. And what was in that ark? Well, it's the law of God. The Ten Commandments, Aaron's rod that budded, and manna. And on either side of the ark, there were cherubims with their wings outstretched, touching one another. And the Shekinah glory of God's presence was between the cherubim above the ark. And then there's the most beautiful piece of furniture. There's the mercy seat above the ark between God's presence and the law. And on that mercy seat was Passover blood once a year. The high priest went in and sprinkled blood. Consider what we do, the similarities in our worship service at the Lord's table. There is the pulpit. There is God's law there. And the congregation are in the pews. And between the law of God and the congregation, could we call it a mercy seat? The Lord's table? And there's a broken body and the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ that was in already the Holy of Holies. David saw something beautiful about shed blood. He saw something beautiful about a Passover lamb and the blood that was taken and what it represented. And the Shekinah glory could be seen over the tabernacle. Can we not see something of God's glory in a biblical worship service? Can we not feel the presence of God? No, not hearing the flutter of the angel's wings, but feeling something of the sacredness and reverence of biblical worship. It's not stifling, because that's who God is. He's a God that dwells in light unapproachable. We find the same scene in Isaiah 6. And the angels are before the temple, the throne room, and they cry, "Holy, holy, holy. The Lord of hosts." They're on sacred ground. It was sacred ground in the Holy of Holies. It is sacred ground in God's sanctuary. Do we realize that? That we are coming into the august presence of the King of the universe. And there's something beautiful about power and justice and love. And we think about all the attributes of God listed in Belgic Confession of Faith, Article 1. There's something beautiful about this God. No, not the natural man. Adam and Eve saw him before the fall. But post-fall, they hid from God. And you and I have that same propensity to hide from deity. Holy, beautiful deity. There's something about him that causes us to turn away. And yet, he comes to us in gospel overtures. He draws us unto himself. Passover blood. What does that say to you? One man said, wherever you cut the Bible, it bleeds with blood. Symbolically, of course. Wherever we are in the Bible, we find the blood. The blood already in coats of skins in the Garden of Eden. We find blood all the way through Old Testament history. We find blood in the New Testament. We find blood at the Lord's table. And David saw beauty in that. But the symbolism of the temple, we are to far transcend the mere symbolism. We are to lay hold upon Christ. And we think about another beauty. Many people fail to realize the righteousness of Christ. He is the head and the mediator of the new covenant. He is everything you and I are not. He is everything that Adam was not after the fall. And as Adam plunged us into sin and death and misery, Christ, as the mediator of the new covenant, the new federal head, he has a righteousness, a blood-bought righteousness, his active obedience. He did not live a life of holiness just to prove that he could do it. He was already holy. He lived it, beloved, for you. Because just shed blood was not enough to wash away our sins. We need a perfect righteousness according to the law of God to appear in the presence of this most beautiful God. We think about him as the incomparable God-man. Two natures, a divine and human nature, hypostatically joined together in one person of the Son of God. There is beauty. There is indescribable beauty in the Son of God himself. But when he takes to himself the body of a real man, a perfect and holy and upright man without any sin, you have incomparable beauty. And it's missed during Christmas time. They say Jesus is the reason for the season. We miss the whole purpose of Christmas. We miss the whole purpose of Good Friday and Easter Sunday if we do not see the beauty of the righteousness of Christ. Scripture says the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in him bodily. And beloved, what we need this afternoon is to experience Christ in the worship service. We need His presence. We need the presence of the Holy Ghost. We need Him speaking to our hearts. We need Him as the after preacher, applying the Word to our hearts. And all we need biblical preaching, do we not? And no, I'm not alluding to the fact that we don't have it, because we do. God spoke to Abraham. He spoke covenantally to David. The Lord speaks unto us off the pulpit, the chief means of grace. Do you realize what a privilege it is to hear God speaking to us? That the heavens are not as brass? And those secondary means of grace, the sacraments, baptism, the Lord's Supper? We need Christ. And what we need, we can't give ourselves. Well, we can hear about it. We need to go to the Lord like David did. No, he wasn't seeking conversion. But it was his prayer, one thing. Have I desired of thee, O Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord. That is biblical Christianity. That's the heart of Christianity, to behold the beauty of Christ. You and I must receive this Christ. And for those that don't know Him, this might be strange language. You might say, well, I really don't have one desire. That's to see the beauty of Christ. There's too many other things in the world. But the world soon passes away. And good health and strength soon is gone. We need to seek the Lord's face, because David's desire was given unto him by a sovereign God. But He bids us to come to Him. He bids us even now, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give thee rest. Amen. Lord God Almighty, we give thee thanks that we might stammer a few words about the beauty and glory of who thou art as Father and Son and Holy Ghost. And Lord, as thou hast inspired David to write this psalm, we pray that thou would engrave this psalm upon the table of our hearts, particularly this part of the prayer. Thou will give unto us, Thou will grant unto us that desire, that burning desire, that we might not only dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of our life, but oh, precious Holy Spirit, take away the scales from our eyes and grant unto us that we might see something of the beauty of the Son of God, that we might behold Him full of grace and truth as of the only begotten of the Father. Lord, hear us, we pray, for we do ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.